coming down to the 16th bowl. Catholic Boy is pulling away. He's so impressive today, the others didn't even have a prayer. Catholic Boy rolls in the run. Happy Travers.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pinnell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for life. And Woodbine Racetrack. Pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on a Wednesday morning live from Saratoga. Again, if you saw the handicappers report, you know. If you're just tuning in now, however, we had some weather late last night, early this morning. So steeplechase race has been canceled for today. We'll kick off with the scheduled race number two, all races off the turf on this Wednesday afternoon as we kick off the last of 2 weeks up here at Saratoga. Man, it goes fast. But Travers comes up on Saturday, the highlight of the meet. A little bit later on in the show, Teresa Gennaro will join us. We'll get an update on what's coming up calendar-wise, both on track and off over the next week or so. Also, our annual visit from Larry Colmus. We'll talk a little track announcing and more with Larry. Should be a lot of fun, but as always, top of the show on a Wednesday, one of the Clancy brothers, either Sean or Joe this morning. Joe gets in the hot seat. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good.
It's not that hot. It should be good.
Well, Sully and I were saying, though, about the middle of the show, it's still kind of humid.
Yeah.
It is not necessarily warm, but there's still a level of humidity, which I guess with this weather is supposed to blow out by the end of the weekend. Looks like
looks
it's going to be gorgeous.
Yeah. No, but you're right. It's kind of, it has this, you think that much rain is going to blow everything out and it's going to lighten up, but no, the air got a little heavier.
Yeah. You've probably been buzzing around this morning, I'm sure, with the newspaper and whatnot. What do things look like around the track with the weather last night?
You can see people scale back training. You talk to any trainers, you see, like, okay, we're going to go do a little less than we normally would, whether it's jog at Clare Court or just even jog on the main track or gallop lightly. Or like, I was with Jonathan Shepard looking at some of the Turf Riders horses, and they stayed on what they call the hill over in Oklahoma, where I think used to be a baseball field and things like that back there where you park. And his horses just sort of cantered up the hill a couple times and then walked over and schooled in the paddock and, you know, went back home. So you see a lot of that. It's sort of playing. I'm sure it depends on what stage your horse is in.
Yeah.
You know, if you're pointing for something specific that's going to, you know, if you were set up to do something today, yeah, that makes it a little harder to take a day off or lighten up. But
We're going to hit on the Turf Riders tomorrow. Again, today's steeplechase has been canceled. We're also going to take a look at last week's. Before we do that, though, again, the newspaper Saratoga Special covers everything Saratoga, so I thought we'd touch on a little bit from last weekend and get your thoughts on the Alabama performance by Dunbar Road. Phenomenal performance in it. In a division that I thought was searching for a leader until Guarana won the Coaching Club American Oaks, but with what Dunbar Road did in the Alabama, I think those two are kind of sitting in the Chad Brown barn as 1-2, and they'll sort each other out, you would think, over the next couple of months. But yeah, the Alabama, again, on Saturday, Dunbar Road looked pretty good. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, especially watching this replay, you see where she is now, and you know how much work she had to do to get there. You know, that's a serious effort. She's in behind horses, taking a lot of mud in her face, and, you know, and then just comes out and comes with that run, which, you know, that's going to work anywhere and probably against anybody if you can run like that, going a mile and a quarter and run horses down. And very impressive effort, I thought. And I don't think any of the horses behind her are really disgraced either. I mean, Larry Jones' filly runs well. George Weaver's filly runs really well, too. So it was a competitive race and a really cool performance.
I was amazed at the exact that paid 15, because to me these were the two. This one a point of honor. That said, you were lucky to get the exacta. But paid $15, almost $16. I thought that was a generous little exacta there in
Alabama. For sure.
And talk a little bit about, because it was covered in the newspaper as well, and it, down at the bottom floor of the clubhouse, that the Saratoga Special folks were catching up with the trainers after the Lake Placid. underneath, bottom floor of the clubhouse, because there was no interviewing out in
no,
the...
there was nothing going on outside.
The winner's circle. As the rain came down, pretty much after the race, but again, you can get the sense of it here, there were dark storm clouds, and because of the dark storm clouds, and we may still have the photo, we pulled it up on Sunday. If you guys still have it, you can show the photo. But the photo, you can't tell a thing because it was dark, and it was too dark for the photo. And we'll see the ding-dong battle here between the two winners. And it's Chad, and it's Graham Motion, and they showed this replay afterwards. And given that it was raining, people were crowded in the bottom floor of the clubhouse. And every time they showed it, it was that typical, whoa. And I think the trainers were kind of the same mind. And eventually, again, because of there was no definitive information from the photo, and because of that they declared it a dead heat. It was kind of a freakish situation.
Yeah, and I think that's the only call you can make at that point. I mean, I don't know, even with light, it still might be a dead heat. I mean, it was that close. I mean, and that's why it's a dead heat. That's why you end up with two winners. You know, you can say we need something better or whatever else. You know, between you saw the replay, how dark it got and how quickly it got that dark. It's on the inner turf. There you go. It's on the inner turf, which I will assume is a trickier photo finish anyway because the camera's in the building. It's a dead heat's a dead heat. They both win. I will walk away saying this is what you get. Again, takes nothing away from either horse. I think it was a really cool effort from both horses, and to see you got one coming from out of it and trying to make up ground in a race that was tricky to make up ground in, you know, and the other one hanging on and, you know, really game performance, which is why we come here. Two game performances, and you end up with two winners, which I think that's, if you had one or the other, I'm sure there's some mathematical formula, where it hurt you in your whatever bet. But, you know, whatever. I think that's the game we play, you know, and sometimes you end up with races like that. And I don't think either horse is disgraced. And I think the right call, you can't make a call from that photo. So don't try, because that would be worse to me.
Yeah, Varenka, Regal Glory, Dead Heat, Blowout, who I liked, I thought ran well. 50 yards from the wire, I thought, oh, she's going to get this. And then they just went back. And then it was that head bob kind of thing. Now, to their credit, they looked for a long time. You could tell they were trying their best to make a determination.
No, and I think anything we see on the screen, like you put the photo up there, I mean, that's the second or third generation. Yeah. The original is obviously better than that. You know, the original photo that they have on their computer is better than anything we've got now, second or third version of that. I think I don't blame them. I mean, a dead heat's a dead heat.
Yeah. And again, to me, it was the right decision, certainly. And Sunday, I showed a picture from an earlier race, and it's completely different when the sun's out.
Yeah,
nice,
exactly.
Clear look. And it was just a freakish that it became very dark, and that was the situation. So, but it was the place, I mean, down in that bottom floor.
Man, there was
clubhouse.
A buzz, right?
With Graham
everywhere.
And it was electric down there. The fans.
The weather outside
is
going crazy. The trainers are inside. You know, I don't know. And again, if you're them, you both won. So there's no beef.
Chad came walking and he said to somebody, "See the photo? They can't tell." And he was smiling. And
right.
It was one of those things that, again, 5 or 10 years from now, it makes for a great story.
Yes, where were you when that happened?
One where they couldn't decide. Exactly. So it's a lot of fun. Also, I picked up this morning, I was kind of leafing through the edition of this special that took a look at those races, and I was scrolling through, and there was another stakes race on the day, the Smart and Fancy, won by an Australian bred. So the headline, oi, oi, oi. And I'm curious, because there's been a few like that. How much thought at night in the offices goes into the headlines?
If it doesn't hit, I didn't write that one, so I'll give, I think that was Brandon Valvo, the writer, came out with that one. So, but I write a lot of them, and if it doesn't hit me early, then it's hard. It's an easy thing to do because it's usually first instant reaction and you're trying to come up with something. I don't want to use the horse's name. They get mad at me when I say, no, the name's in the other part. You know, we got to come up with something that plays off the name or whatever. And that just worked. I mean, and it fit. We had a horizontal photo, so we had a nice tight spot. You could do the right, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. But I don't know.
Yeah, it fit.
It fit. Oh, the fitting is the biggest thing. You either need a long word or a short word.
Yeah,
if it has an M in it, it's a much longer word than you realize.
Oh,
and
I didn't think the letters on.
Yes. The Y. It's not in there. Yeah.
And
oi, oi, oi. You know, that's nice, and you know, you can get a lot in there.
Oh,
you know,
that's
so
pretty good.
It all depends.
There is more to putting on a newspaper than I even thought about.
Oh, there's way more. Back in the old days, there was like a headline count. So like an M counted as three, and a two, N was two, and a something else was a half. And it was they don't do any of that anymore. Now you just try it on the page. If it works, it works. But yeah, I like it. I love it. It's kind of fun. I love doing it. I like to say my dream job is someday to be the guy at the New York Post or Daily News that they wake up and say, "Hey, we need one. Come on, get us one." You know, that's my job.
Headless body and topless bar is the classic for the Post.
I'm not at their level, but it's a fun thing to do, and it is usually a late night. The best ones are the ones that hit you right away. If you have to think about it, then it's not as good.
Again, we have you and Sean in all the time, and usually Tom Wall sit in at some point with us as well. He was in with Tom Amello, I know, earlier on the podcast, if people want to check that out. And we talk a little bit about the nuts and bolts and highly tell people to pick up the paper around the track or check it out at thisishorseracing.com, the digital version. I have a link over on Equidaily, too, that I've kept up throughout the meet because if you're not on the track, it's a great way to keep up with all the racing. But take us through a day because – you and the interns, I see you in the winner's circle, and what's interesting to me is always most of the reporters go and they get their quotes, and you guys kind of follow the trainers and get a little more in-depth for the articles. But take us from the day after the feature race when you guys all head to your office. What's the rest of the day like?
Sometimes it's long. Sometimes it's very easy and smooth, but rarely it's very easy. Who am I kidding? But there's a lot of work that gets done at night, and I'm at the races the least because I'm usually doing the layout and the headlines and that kind of stuff and editing. But from 6 o'clock till 10 or 11 or 12, depending on the day and the size of the paper, that's where people are finishing up the writing. Some editing is getting done. The photos, Todd Marks and Dave Harmon are our photographers. Todd posts his on a website. You have to download them off his website and then figure out where they fit in the paper and decide on the cover and that kind of stuff. So all that. And then there's like a proofing process that gets done where they get edited on the computer, but then everything gets printed out and you're looking at it all again and trying to make sure it makes sense. So it takes anywhere, we're supposed to be to the printer by 10, but it's usually probably 10:30, 11 is a good night. Some of this week, Friday night and Saturday night will be very long. They will be late nights because they're big papers and a lot of stakes to cover and a lot to do. So the Wednesday, Thursdays are a little easier to do because it's just an easier, more controlled news product, really. So that's the idea.
And again, I will take the opportunity to speak on behalf of the public. You guys do a great job, and we all appreciate
it because
it's certainly fun to follow, and it's also humbling when I turn to Shapazian again. Shapazian, I think I'm coming in today 77 because, again, handicapping here on the Handicappers Report, my picks are on the Capital OTB website on days I'm in here. I do it every day over on Equidaily, and I'm sitting at 77, which is – looking at the
number,
other public
right?
handicappers,
yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Until I look at you, I think he went past 90. Because he was 88
on
Sunday. So he had to get at least a couple, I'm sure.
Tom Law is chasing him all the time. And he's like, I had four. I think I made up some ground. And he's like, no, he had five. And it's like, it's just a daily thing. I did get somebody accuse us. I might have said it last time. Somebody has accused us of counting Shapazian's winners twice and everybody else's once. But no, his is only once, too. He's pretty good at it, that's what he does.
Again, if you're looking for some selections, pick up the Saratoga special as well. All right, let's go back and look at the stakes action or the steeplechase action from last week. You said it when we sat down. I said we're going to take a look at that, and you under your breath said secretariat. And it was a kind of a secretariat-like performance in the steeplechase last week. Snap decision. I liked Whitman's Poetry, and I said the race before he had lost the jockey, and I kind of laughed and said, well, that's not going to happen again. Well, you can see a loose horse there. It did happen again for Whitman's Poetry.
He ran a great race, by the way. I mean, he's second to this horse, which is pretty good effort, with no jockey, no steering.
But it is snap decision getting it done. The chart margin, 38.5 lengths for a $4.80 winner. This was the easiest looking $4.80 you're ever going to get.
Yeah, he did that really nicely. It looks like a nice young horse for Jack Fisherman. He was in the Shug McGee barn, reached a level on the flat where he wasn't really going to excel or move on and become a stake horse. And they actually saw the horse and went to Shug about buying him. And he's by Hardspun, who was turned into – by default. Nobody really tries to breed American steeplechasers, but he has become a really good steeplechase sire.
And you know, I had never thought about that. Horses that are steeplechase sires.
Yeah, it's not really. I mean, it would be the same as turf and distance most of the time, yeah. You know, which is logical. But there are a few, there are a handful of hardspuns out there who have done really well at it, and I think if you remember him, he was a very tough, hardy, hard-trying horse, and I think that probably translates to going 2 miles over jumps, and, you know, you got to be a little different kind of animal, and that horse, he's run 4 times over jumps, has 2 wins, 2 seconds. That race kind of fell apart, and it fell into his lap a little bit, but, you know, he'll go on from here and run some stakes this fall, and, you know, could be a very nice horse.
Yeah, that was very impressive, certainly. That was last week. Today, as man, people can see behind, it's getting dark again.
Yeah, here we go.
Luckily, they're off the turf because the inside, the photo on the turf would not be working out well. It's starting to rain. All our guests have come in under the tent. Don't blame them a bit. But hopefully tomorrow things hold together for what is annually the highlight of the meet with the Grade 1 New York Turf Riders. Today's steeplechase, again, has been canceled, but tomorrow scheduled the Turf Riders. And I pulled up the A.P. Smithwick from earlier in the meet. We're going to look at number 3, Winston C., who I liked that day. Got it done for my man Jonathan Shepard. Paid a nice little $8.70. And I'll tell you, Joe, as I looked at the rest of this field, Jack Fisher has Gibralfaro in here off a 4th in the Smithwick. I think that one has a little bit of life. Hinterland, also for Jack Fisher, 3rd in the Smithwick. But I just thought, off of this effort, Winston C. really looks like the best in here, but the question mark, obviously, as it is every year with the AP Smithwick winner going to the New York Turf Riders, is the distance.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's going longer, 2 3/8 versus 2 1/16. He picks up weight, you know, which is your reward for winning the Smithwick. Then it's, as a handicap, you've got to pick up weight and go to the Turf Riders. And so he's given some weight away. But I'm with you. I mean, he's going to be really short-priced. Off that effort, he's going to be very hard to beat. If he runs back to that race, I don't think they beat him. You know, if there's some kind of chink in his armor, maybe. I'm not sure what it is. I actually spent the morning with him today. He's light, bouncy. You would say he's somebody's miler on the turf. He doesn't look like a steeplechaser. He's a quick, light, active horse. And, you know, I think he's really, really hard to handle in here. You know, we were talking about the weight a little bit. He does go from 44 to 54, which, you know, yeah, that's picking up weight. But he won in England carrying 59, 60, 66. I don't think carrying weight's going to bother him. He's a small horse. He was sort of out in a set with a 3-year-old filly who towers over him, which is pretty funny to see. But, you know, I don't think carrying weight's going to bother him. Underneath, I think you touched on a couple. Hinterland, to me, always runs a decent race. He never seems to win. I think it's been 5 years since he's won a race. But he's hits the board in these Grade 1s a lot. He's done it at Belmont. He's done it here. You know, I think he could do that again. Gibralfaro, the other horse for Jax. His Smithwick was better than a... Well, it looked terrible leaving the backside. It looked like he was going to back up and be 8th, and then he sort of stays on and is making up ground at the end, which would translate to 2 3/8, where the gallop, that steady gallop goes even longer. It might help him a little bit in these races, and maybe that's value with Jack Fisher. I'm kind of with you. I think Winston C., Gibralfaro, Hinterland for a piece, I would be really surprised if he wins just because he doesn't seem to win. You know?
Do you know why Von Romane didn't show?
I think he had a little issue. He came over from England and was with Jack Fisher, and you know, I think if he was okay, they would run. He had some kind of a little issue, and I think he's gone back to England to kind of restart his campaign over there for the winter and the fall.
Very good, Joe. As always, appreciate the visit, and again, we highly tout people to pick up the Saratoga Special here on track, around town, or visit thisishorseracing.com to get the digital version during the meet. Joe, appreciate the visit. We'll talk again.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll head to a break. When we come back, Larry Colmus is in the house. We'll talk track announcing and more with Larry right after this. Stay tuned.
Come on.
You like free money? Well, Capital OTB gives its players plenty of opportunities to cash in. At Capital OTB, there are so many ways for horse players to receive bonus dollars by simply participating in promotions such as our bankrolls, bounty bets, online handicapping contests, and much, much more. Plus, with Capital OTB's player rewards program, you get actual cash back. So what are you waiting for? Log on today at CapitalOTB.com or CapitalOTBBet.com and claim your free money.
Wonder, a big one shot here, chased home by Imelma J. Fudd on the outside, who comes looking for the weed with one furlong to go. Then comes Tailspin, and on the far outside, it is Wills Bay. It is Big Wonder. Imelma J. Fudd zooms on by and takes the lead. Wills Bay is next on the outside. It's Imelma J. Fudd. And that's all, folks. Cause for celebration, got up for second, then Big Wonder and Wills Bay.
I'm Elmer J. Fudd, winning a race just recently, and a little fun with the call from Larry Colmus. He joins me now. Larry, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Seth?
Very good. A big Wong shot, that's all, folks, playing off. I'm Elmer J. Fudd. And we've talked to you about it before up here, but certainly there have been a couple of instances at this meet. That kind of stuff, I think, plays very, very well up here at Saratoga with the crowd, and it's just it's a different kind of atmosphere, and it gets a lot of laughs, and I think you have fun with it too.
With a name like that, how do you not have some fun? I kept going, by the way, in the winner's circle. I mentioned that he was trained by Woody Rodriguez, ridden by Manny Fuenco, and he was 11-1. So why not, right?
Exactly. And as they say, just standing around with the crowd and whatnot, really enjoy. There have been a few of those so far this year. Let's talk a little bit about just for folks who are unfamiliar. We've had you on the show before, so lots of people are, but that's the beauty of Saratoga. New folks jump in every year. Give us your background and how you got into the game and what interested you in getting into the track announcing profession.
So my father was the sound man at Timonium. He put in the sound system at the Maryland State Fair. We used to call that the Saratoga of the South. So ran for 42 days in the summer and used to love going to the track. And he wanted me to work for him. Found out that I was completely mechanically incompetent. That wasn't going to happen. So what I would do is just monitor the sound system, make sure everything was okay volume-wise. If it wasn't, I would call him and he'd come fix it. So what ended up happening is I fell in love with horse racing. Like, I need to be at the track. This is me. I got to do something. I don't know what it is. So I just started listening to different announcers around the country, their different styles. I said, hey, you know, let's try this. And a couple of people helped me out, found a room for me in the press box at the Maryland track, started calling races into a tape recorder. And then one day they said, you're going to call the one of the races over the mic at Bowie in 1985. Tiara's Flame, trained by King Leatherberry, ridden by Alberto Delgado. I remember it well. And it's gone from there to here somehow, and it's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, talking to trainers, that seems to be the method, the recording into tape recorders and kind of honing the craft and then getting your shot. Do you remember the butterflies and the feeling of calling that first race?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the binoculars were shaking. It was just as they were when 20 horses left the gate in the 2011 Kentucky Derby, and I called my first one. I'm like, well, there's those butterflies again. They're back. And, you know, if you don't have butterflies for calling that race, you're a robot. There's something wrong with you, you know, because that really, you know, brings them on. But, yeah, when in the early days, and I remember the third race I ever called, I messed up. I had the wrong horse all the way down the stretch. Two horses with similar silks. We used the silks to tell them apart, and I was so upset. And I went to my boss, Chick Lang Jr., and I said, you know, if you guys don't, I was 18 years old. He says, if you don't think I'm ready for this, I understand. He says, I missed the race. He said, to be honest with you, he says, you didn't say the F word or anything, did you? I said, no, no. He goes, then it was fine.
So. Move on. Move on. You know, you made me think when you talked about the binoculars shaking, because I know these days they can stabilize that and whatnot. When I have trainers in here, I've talked about it. When I've had photographers, racing photographers, you know, Skip and Dave Harmon and Barbara Livingston, I've talked about how the technology has changed the game. And I'm thinking about it, I'm imagining probably has changed the game on the announcer side as well.
Sure. Binoculars for me are Canon 15x50 image stabilizers. Got two AA batteries in there. You hit a button and it takes the shake away. So as much as your knees are buckling and your palms are sweating when they're going around the track on the first Saturday in May, the binoculars are steady. So that's a big help. I also use technology now with calling races off of an iPad. I've got an iPad in front of me, and what I do the night before, the morning of, depending on my social calendar, I draw all of the silks digitally, and they're right by the horse's name, so that helps me before the race to know who they're going to be. And then, you know, if you have a situation where a name's not coming in your head, you can find them really quick by looking at those silks. So it's an actual, like Tom Durkin used to draw with crayons, and a lot of guys draw with crayons or markers. I do it digitally on an iPad, so it's a great idea, and it helps me a lot.
Yeah, Tom had the little setup that he had that he had slung around his neck.
Yep.
Do you know how many tracks? What your track resume? How many tracks you have on that?
As a full time regular announcer, my first full time gig was the Birmingham Turf Club in Alabama. 1987, went from there to Golden Gate Fields for 4 years, came east to Suffolk Downs in 92, Monmouth Park in 94, and called both of them for quite a while, down to Gulfstream Park. I actually filled in as the winter announcer at Aqueduct in 05 and 06. Gulfstream Park starting in 07 for 10 years. Left Monmouth to go to Churchill in 2014, was there 1 year, and then they asked me to come here, and so I've been here ever since, and now it's just Naira and then the NBC work for the Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup.
What? It is coming down.
It is pouring.
On our 10th year.
We are off the turf.
If people can't hear it. Let me ask you, I mean, you know, we talk to trainers, and every trainer says, oh, the Kentucky Derby, everybody wants, because everybody has. As an announcer, is announcing here in Saratoga, but just Naira in general, is that kind of the goal?
Yeah. I mean, I've been so fortunate to get where I've gotten in this game. And, you know, you call it Monmouth for 20 years, a great track, you know, wonderful track, but it's always in the back of your head. Man, I just want to come to Saratoga. Because I would come here as a fan on a Monday. It'd be the only time I could come. And then walk around on Tuesday. And then, you know, just head back to Monmouth and say, maybe one day. And then that day happened. And we've been here 5 years. This is the fifth year now. And it's hard to believe.
Yeah, you do a great job. And I'm curious, do you get recognized around town?
A little bit more every year. You know, a lot of people don't know what I look like because they don't see me. They just hear me. It seems like it's happening more and more, and I really enjoy fan interaction. It's one of my favorite things. If you don't know this, after I do the changes at 11:30 every day, I walk around the backyard and I say hi to people. You know, most people have no idea who I am, but a lot of people do, and they stop by and they say hi. And you know, I think I tell people, you know, they're saying, what's so special about Saratoga? Well, it's the fans. I mean, this place is full of people every day who love this game, and I want to do whatever I can do to make sure that they're having the best time possible. And I think, you know, that fan interaction and getting to talk to people and take pictures or whatever, I think it really helps, and I enjoy doing it, so it's win-win.
We should also tout the third race with Larry Colmes.
Yeah.
It's a charity kind of a promotion, and if folks want to go up and kind of watch a race from the booth with you, a donation, and it goes to one of the nice racetrack charities.
Yeah, the Backstretch Employee Service Team, they have a website, and you can look it up. I wish I had it on me, but it's $100 a person. The people bring you up to the roof. You get to hang out, take a look at the terrific view that they have out on the roof, Then you go into the booth where we don't have the terrific view. It's not as good as you think, believe me. But it is fun because they get to come in and I explain how I prepare for the race, and people get to watch the race. And it's a great behind-the-scenes thing, and it's for a terrific charity. It's for all the backstretch workers, the best group. They feed them. Yeah. They make sure they're taken care of medically, and they're a tirelessly working group, and we try our best to support them.
Yeah, great cause. And you've alluded to it. You've talked about it before on here. Talk about the booth at Saratoga. I mean, hey, there's trees up here that can block the view and whatnot, but just the positioning of the booth is a little bit of a challenge.
It is. There's a white post right at the finish line, so I have to lean to the left to call the finish of the race. One thing I love about Saratoga is the lowness of the booth. I get to see the photo finishes a lot better than I would at Belmont. Belmont, it's kind of a weird angle, so I enjoy being able to call tight photos at Saratoga. But outside of that, it's a tough booth. There's all kind of posts and trees and everything in the way. And now a new thing, starting at 3 o'clock every day on a sunny day, the glare from the 1863 club comes right into the booth.
Yes. You got to wait for the patina.
Exactly. The patina is on the way next year, probably. So, but it's just, like I say, it's just part of the fun of Saratoga. I love it.
Are you essentially on the finish line? Because you hit those ding-dongs. You're pretty good with those.
It's maybe a pace or two before the finish line, but you can, like, it's a what you see is what you get. When I eyeball that finish line and I see that nose coming down, you know, that's what I'll, you know, unless it's a ridiculous head bob too close to call, I'll give it a shot. You know, the only time that was really, really tough was in the Lake Placid the other day. It was pitch dark outside. It was so, I could barely see the horses hit the wire. But outside of that, it's usually a good view. Belmont is tough. It always looks like the inside horse is better than he is. And because of that, you know, it's hard for your brain to say something that your eyes aren't seeing.
Yeah.
So even if you know that's why it's too close to call gets mentioned at Belmont much more than Saratoga.
As you came on and Joe Clancy stepped off, we were talking a little steeplechase and that snap decision race and whatnot. How unique and what difference is there calling the steeplechase races?
I love it. I'm a big pro steeplechase guy. You know, the paces of the race are just methodical. And you can get into the flow of things, and it's just different than, it's just a nice casual change of pace to start the day. And plus, I just love the tradition of it. It's like, you know, everybody dresses up, everybody, you know, is just more in it for the sport than the money. And I just enjoy
just out circling
them
around the tree.
Yeah,
before the
circling
race
around the tree. You know, the flag drop, yeah. And That's my thing, man. I tell those guys, you know, you hear, why do they have these steeplechase races? They're awesome. I think they're
right,
absolutely fantastic.
I love the jump races.
Yeah.
From a calling aspect, is there a type of race you prefer? And I'm curious, 5.5 furlongs, 5 furlongs on this turf has become a thing. Do you have to kind of speed up your calling in those quick sprints?
I'm not a big fan of calling those races. They're just harder for me in general. Turf races in general are harder than dirt races to call.
Okay.
I think because horses, when they turn for home, and in the last eighth of a mile, so much can happen. Yeah. Horses are coming in from at you in all directions, you know, blasting through on the rails.
There was a cavalry charge.
Yeah,
there.
But in some of these races, you get a horse who's like eighth at the 16th pole, and all of a sudden he wins, and you know, you have to keep an eye on so many. But if you add the sprint factor to that, it makes it even more. So it's a bigger challenge, that 5.5 sprint. I'm more of a fan of longer races, but you know, it is what it is, and you go out there and have fun with it. You know, it's just calling here. That's what's great about calling here, is there's so many different things that you deal with, and it's fun.
Certainly over the last few years, you've had a couple of chances to do things that not many announcers have had to do, and I pulled up some video, and we'll take a look at it. No audio, but I've got the video, you in the booth, for Justify's Triple Crown win at Belmont, and you can see from the body language how excited you are. And just before that, you had the first Triple Crown in a long time with American Pharoah. So again, as I say, this was Justify, and we'll see your body language as they come under the wire, which clearly demonstrates your level of excitement. Talk about this. Justify an American Pharoah and calling a Triple Crown race. and just how important that was and how much fun is a part of your career to put on the resume.
I never knew about the fist pumps until I saw them. I don't realize I'm doing that until after, but it's become like my unconscious thing that at these high-level races, especially getting a chance to call the Triple Crown. Seth, there was nothing like the feeling of when American Pharoah won the Belmont Stakes. The 37 years had gone by, and this is my first year as an IRA announcer, and I get to do this, and it was just mind-blowing.
Could you feel the crowd up in the booth?
Sure.
The crowd was crazy. I was down on the apron, and the crowd was berserk and continued as the horse came back.
It was the most amazing thing. The booth at Belmont is, like, way up there, and it's glass enclosed, and, you know, you can't hear anything. You could that day. That place was shaking. And, I mean, I just remember just because I had cameras all over me in that booth. You know, NYRA had a camera, NBC had a camera, the New York Times had a camera. And that race was over, and I hid in the corner away from those cameras, and I bawled my eyes out. I'm like, this is the coolest thing ever. I just got to call the first Triple Crown in 37 years. And I saw the video. I come flying out, and I'm banging on the window. And I'm like, I don't even remember doing that. It was just part of the whole atmosphere of that moment was beyond belief. And then stuck around to call the next two races, which was hysterical. I think it was Bob Costa said it was like Joe Buck calling the World Series and then calling batting practice. but it was nice and relaxing after that. It cooled things down.
What was the comparison then with Justify? Because, again, it was huge with American Pharoah after the long wait. But it was also, you had an undefeated Triple Crown winner with Justify.
Right, exactly. An undefeated Triple Crown winner. The only thing that took away from Justify's excitement was American Pharoah, because he had done it just a few years before. And Justify was almost as good. It was pretty spectacular. And American Pharoah's was just a moment that I don't think anything can match it. Justify's was close. The other one that was really exciting for me was American Pharoah's Breeders' Cup Classic win, because you knew that was it.
Yeah.
And you had been through the whole
year.
And
it was redemption after the Travers.
Right. After the Travers, and you're like, man, I can't wait to see what he does here. Not only did he win, he just trounced them. And knowing that was the last time that you're going to call him, it just was just emotionally draining. And, you know, I throw, when those, you know, I hear people say, oh, he gets too excited, he yells, blah, blah, blah. It's how you feel and how it makes you feel. And I throw everything into those races, man. All the excitement. There's nothing fake about it, believe me.
I think you're a good, at least for me, a good mimic of what I'm feeling, because you get excited at the appropriate times, the ding-dong finishes, the big races, the Triple Crown and whatnot. And as I say, that's, as a fan, what I'm feeling too, so I appreciate that.
Even a nickel claimer, if they're going like
exactly
this down the wire, it's exciting, right?
Yeah, no question about it. Doing a little research last night, I was reading an interview with you, a Q&A, and you talked about when you stepped into the booth to call your first Kentucky Derby, you had reached out to some of the previous Durkin, Battaglia, Dave Johnson, and gotten some advice from them. What kind of advice did they give you to step in for your first Derby?
Well, the thing that I really needed to know was, is there anything that I'm missing? Is there anything that's going to, like, throw me for a loop that I'm not aware of? And I was talking to Tom Durkin about it, and he said, no, not really. He says, it's just like calling any other race, except for it's the Kentucky Derby and it's 20 horses. He said, there's nothing like that's going to get in your way or anything like that. And the one thing he was right about, the one thing that you won't have to worry about is remembering the horses' names, because the horses are so familiar to you at that point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's all the controlling of nerves is what it was about for me. And I remember when the horses were going around the turn in the Derby, and I'm like, my binoculars are steady. Like, man, I've got this. Like, I'm not even shaking at all. Then I realized my legs were jello. Like, don't fall down. Whatever you do, don't fall down.
That would be bad.
All the nerves just went down to the legs. I'm like, what is going on here? You know, they're just shaking. But that's what it does to you.
And some of the obstacles of calling. I should have pulled it up, because it's always funny. The Preakness a couple of years ago in the fog. That just and you did a great job, because it's one of those situations where you just do what you can. And you had to look at the monitor a little bit. Even that wasn't playing. You powered through it. You had to.
We had NBC was going to me on the commercial breaks and said, okay, here's what we got. And leading up, I mean, it's just 2 minutes to post time for the race, and here's what we got. We're going to show you this shot, this shot, this shot. And luckily they had what they called the back cam that was following them down the backstretch, so you could actually see the backstretch. But I could only see physically without monitors from maybe 50 yards before the finish line to the finish line. That's it. Everything else was off of monitors. And they just kept switching to different shots. And there was a period of time on the far turn where they had nothing for a while. And I remember I said, and they have run 3/4 of a mile in 1 minute, 11.42 seconds as they round the far turn in the fog at Pimlico, and then they showed up again. It's like, I got to kill time here because I can't see anything. The Weirdwoods, it looked like the view coming down the stretch that Justify had put away Good Magic, looked like he was pulling away, and when they came back at me, and I could actually see him, Good Magic was still there. I'm like, whoa, and all of a sudden the wire comes up, and it was fun. It was one of those deals, but I give all the credit to the cameraman and the director. They basically called the race for me because I couldn't see anything on my own.
Yeah, as I said, you did a great job under tough circumstances. People can pull that one up on YouTube, certainly, and it's worth a look because it was a tough situation. Speaking of tough situations, the seminar down in Albany before the season started, you mentioned this, and I read a little bit about it last night, too. And I'm assuming this probably happens more often than people might realize, but the Derby a couple of years ago, Calumet had 3 horses in, and you kind of have to make a request, hey, switch things up a little bit so I can call appropriately.
Yeah, it's tough because I go by silk, so if there's 3 horses that have exactly the same colors, it can be a bit of a challenge. So I do usually get proactive, and I call the owners of the horses and say, hey, can you help me out here? And the majority of times, like you'll see that in the Derby last year, Maximum Security had a pink cap, Game Winner had a black cap. And that's because I had asked the representatives of Gary Mary West to do that, and they did. So it was nice of them to do. Here in New York, we just sort of kind of just do it without asking them. So, but it's going to come up in the Travers, William S. Farish with 2 horses in the Travers. And so we're going to have to see if they'll do a little cap for us there, maybe put green on one, yellow on the other, because those are those colors.
Yeah, as I say, that's the nuts and bolts of the game. We'll actually listen to this as we go into the break, but I pulled up some video. We'll just watch it now. The 96 Mass Cap, it's Cigar winning up at Suffolk Downs, and I wanted to show this because, again, you were announcing at Suffolk then, and I just wanted to touch on, earlier this summer, they wrapped things up at Suffolk, and I'm sure you have some great memories of being up there. And I managed to make it a couple of summers ago for one of these boutique weekends. I tried to get there this year, got caught in traffic on the Mass Pike, and I couldn't make it, unfortunately. But they wrapped things up. Your thoughts on Suffolk and the closing of Suffolk a month or so ago?
Yeah, it was sad to see. That place, I spent a lot of time there. I was the announcer there from 1992 to 2007, a little off and on at the end because of Monmouth's schedule was an overlap, but met so many people who have become lifelong friends of mine up there. Got to call Cigar and Skipaway and Formal Gold and Will's Way and all those, Barons, all those great horses and the Mass Cap. And then, the day-to-day racing at Suffolk wasn't the best in the world, but we had a lot of fun up there. And it's a great city. I became a Red Sox fan from my time up at Suffolk Downs. But I have more people here at Saratoga when I do that walk around before the races that have their Boston accents and say, I remember you from Suffolk Downs, kid. And more than any other place that I've worked, and it just tells you how many great fans there are in Boston that come here to Saratoga, and you just wish that, that place, their home track, Suffolk Downs, could still be around. But, yeah. It's sad, and hopefully some way or another we'll get horse racing back in New England, because trust me, there should be horse racing in New England.
Yeah, we'll keep our fingers crossed on the Great Barrington project. But like I say, trip I made a couple of years ago was my first time, and it's a beautiful track, and Boston should have a track, and it's just, it was sad when
it's like a green oasis in the middle of places where you don't think there's that much ground that there could be, and it's kind of like Belmont.
Yeah, you know? And it was a lot of fun. Sad to see it go, but I wanted to give you a chance to remember it a little bit. Before we let you go, thoughts on the Trevors? You excited? Field of 12, and looks like it's going to be a nice competitive event, and obviously the highlight of the meet.
It's going to be great. I mean, when you have the Trevors, it's always great, but now you have 12 horses that are super competitive coming from everywhere. Tacitus is, you know, if everything finally goes the right way for him, he probably should win against those horses, but he seems to have something every time that happens to them, and so it's so wide open. I just can't wait to call it, and the whole day is just a blast.
Stakes action at the top level of the game. That has to make it a lot of fun for you. Larry, we appreciate your visit. We appreciate your work up here at Saratoga. Like to listen to you. Again, I'll tout because you're essentially a part of that team. When I've had anybody in so far, the Fox MSG programming is great. And as I say, the race calls are all part of that. And you're doing a great job there as well. And this weekend, looking forward to the nice stakes-laden card on the Travers. Appreciate the visit.
And the Travers is going to be on Big Fox. Which is going to be pretty cool. Yeah, but sure. Thanks for having me, Seth. Always a pleasure.
Appreciate it. Larry Colmus. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Teresa Gennaro will go over the calendar. What's coming up on track and off this week? Stay tuned.
Turns into the stretch with an eight-length lead. Personal Merit is second, and then it's Prolanzier in third. It's Cigar. He's got a furlong to run. Jerry Bailey is not asking to go at all. Personal Merit will be second. It is Cigar, the peerless Cigar, putting on a spectacular show. 15 for 15. Citation's record is next. Cigar wins the mass cap.
The legend did not disappoint. As Cigar cruised to his 15th straight score, he would go...
Looking for a fantastic meal? Stop by Malcolm's, a unique farm-to-table restaurant experience. Located at 617 Union Street in Schenectady, Malcolm's offers locally grown fresh foods, mouth-watering flavors, an enhanced drink menu, and terrific service. Malcolm's is a sure bet during Saratoga season. Make your reservation today.
In a recent study of some of the top online wagering sites, Capital OTB won big in total player rewards, far surpassing some of the best-known wagering sites in America. While other rewards programs simply offer you points redeemable for gift cards, Capital OTB's rebates are paid to you in actual cash. Plus, Capital OTB gives you full and immediate access to your money. So if all you're getting now are points and gift cards, join Capital OTB Player Rewards today and get cash back. Visit CapitalOTBBet.com and sign up today.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Welcome back, Racing Across America on a Wednesday morning. That means time for the weekly calendar. Teresa Gennaro joins us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Brooklyn Backstretch and more. If you want to go online and find the calendar, you can do that. But we'll hit on the highlights as we always do on a Wednesday morning. But you and I were talking before we went on the air. Last week, you had your own event.
Yes, heading down to
Schenectady to watch Hamilton. And as we were watching the ads, Malcolm's down in Schenectady, one of our advertisers, and you went there for a pre-show dinner.
Yeah.
I'll talk a little bit about Malcolm's because I know you're high on it, and B, how was Hamilton?
Malcolm's was amazing, and Mike, who works for you guys on TV, is the person who recommended it, owned by a friend of his. Turns out, small world, the person who owns it is also friends with a woman I taught in my first teaching job in 1992.
It is a small world.
Gorgeous space right on Union Street in Schenectady, lots of light, huge windows, really cool, creative menu. Prices were not outrageous, and the food was divine.
We had the chief chef in here at the beginning of the meet, and we're kind of going over some of the menu items. Sounded quite nice. And then you tweeted out some pictures. Tweeted out some desserts that looked good.
Amazing. They were really good. And Hamilton, I mean, when I saw a year and a half ago that Proctor's would be putting on Hamilton during the racing meet, it was on my calendar, and the morning the tickets went on sale, I had like my phone and a landline and my laptop just trying, and it, and I'm just so happy it worked out. And It exceeded my expectations, and I have listened to nothing else but the soundtrack for the last week. Like, I wake up and the songs are in my head, and just there's still some tickets available.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just a few. But if you have a chance to go see it here or anywhere else, just it's genius.
So, your calendar had a highlight last week. Yeah. We'll see if we can highlight some other people this coming week, because there's some fun things coming up. Certainly, obviously, it's Travers Week. We're kind of winding down the meet, but still plenty of opportunities for fun. Today, we do want to alert people. One of the giveaways up here at Saratoga may be appropriate given the weather. And you can hide under it, I guess, today. But the beach towel giveaway, free with paid admissions while supplies last.
Yep. Looks nice. Nice evocation of a Saratoga summer right there. And as you said, it is a weather-appropriate giveaway for today because it is wet out there.
The beach towel. It's also sports day up here, and I took a little shot of the final score of the Arena Bowl about a week and a half ago in Albany, because they've added to the agenda the Albany Empire, the Arena Bowl winners. So there'll be sports participants, sports players from a number of local teams, but if people want to get the national champions, our local national champions, the Empire will be up here. Sports Day today at Saratoga.
Yeah, representatives from the baseball team, the Tri-City Valley Cats, and also the Adirondack Thunder will be there. They'll be doing some giveaways. Some of the coaches will be on hand to answer questions. So it seems like a fun way to celebrate local teams.
And that's going to happen in the tent in the back, right?
Yeah.
So if you're not familiar, it's kind of down behind the grandstand. I would say from the front side, maybe equivalent to the eighth pole or something like that.
Yeah.
There's a big tent in the back. You won't miss the
you
tent. Just walk
it.
Down the back of the grandstand. You won't miss it. Also today, always a lot of fun. Annual way to be a winner at Saratoga if you can down the ice cream in a certain amount of time, or I don't know if it's a time or an amount.
I
guess a timed amount.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think it's as much as you can down in X amount of time. And they have
God
various.
Bless you.
I know, right? They have various categories. That is a very happy looking girl right there. And I don't know. Maybe you get to pick your own flavor. I'm not really sure how it all works. But I can
sponsored by Stewart's,
and I can
so
personally
the ice cream is good.
Vouch for the quality of Stewart's ice cream, peanut butter pandemonium. If you haven't tried it, you should. Really good, and just Stewart's is very much a part of the local community, and it's a great way to bring that to the track.
I was
as
gassing
well.
Up at Stewart's a couple days ago, and they had a little sticker on the gas pump for the season. They're adding some pumpkin flavor, and I'm not a big pumpkin guy, but apple pie flavor sounded pretty good. It was some cinnamon swirl in it. So I'm going to try that sooner rather than later. But that's today. If you want to come up and take your shot in the ice cream contest, that happens this afternoon right up here at the track. Tomorrow at the track, the low roller. Want to keep reminding people of that. And it hurts to do it because I made a huge mess up the other day,
I
would have gotten money. I pushed the wrong button. I had a winner already, and I would have gotten a second winner. And I put the bet in, and rather than hit make bet, this is all I can think. Rather than hit make bet, I must have hit finish.
Oh.
Because after the race, I'm all excited, and I go in, and the bet wasn't there.
Oh, no.
I'm lamenting now. I'm one of those typical racetrack people. Oh, how did I?
Right.
But now I really have to keep playing to make up for that. So, again, low roller continues Thursdays and Sundays here at the meet. Thursday, also kind of a fun program for the kids over at the National Museum of Racing. I like this. Build a Travers Stakes Trophy.
Yeah.
I want to see what they do.
And these programs are terrific because they combine both hands-on creative activities for kids and also some learning about the history of horse racing. So the kids will get a little bit of a tour and look at what trophies look like and what the different elements of them mean and symbolize, and then they can make their own.
Yeah, like I
it's
say,
great.
I would hope that the museum would tweet out some of the results.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure they will be rather entertaining. We had Michael Dubb in with us on Sunday, talked about this, but certainly want to push it again. The Belmont Child Care Association annual dinner takes place at Saratoga National. You're certainly familiar with the Belmont Child Care Association, the Anna House, a great organization and well worth supporting.
Literally, there's no place else like it in the country. It's Anna House is on the back stretch of Belmont Park. It opens every single day at 5 a.m., offering affordable childcare to children whose parents work on the back stretch. If you've ever looked for childcare, you know that places that are open all the time are rare, and certainly not ones that open at 5 a.m. The programs have also been extended to after-school sessions for middle school kids, and there are childcare options for Saratoga workers as well. So it's a really amazing way to support the people who take care of the horses. Before Anna House, backstretch workers often had to leave their small children in their cars because there was no place for them to go, and certainly nowhere affordable. So it's a gift to the racing community and well worth your support. And this year's honoree is Sal Kuman.
And as Michael said, they're looking to do a similar thing up here, which would be great. And as he also said, these kids, we have pictures on Sunday. They have a little cap and gown ceremony, but they leave with really a head start on heading to grade school because they come out with programs with computer skills and reading and writing and whatnot. And so they don't just get daycare, but they come out of it, as they say, with a little head start when they head to school.
And there are amazing success stories now because Anna House has been around for long enough that kids are out of high school and going to college. And it's possible to think, it's possible to think that might not have happened without that head start.
I'm glad that was you and not me, because I've been close about 1,000 times this season. But again, if you type in Belmont Child Care Association into Google, you can go to the website and highly touted. Go over. And again, this, it should be reiterated, this is a really casual event. And it's fun, and it's worth
checking. You can wear jeans or casual dresses or,
Rock and Roll at Nenola for retired racehorses. It benefits old friends at Cabin Creek. That's coming up on Thursday.
Thursday's a very busy night. This is a restaurant down in Malta on Route 9. A really nicely affordable event, $50 in advance, $60 at the door for buffet and a cash bar. And it supports all the retirees and old friends at Cabin Creek. They had two Travers winners up there, Will's Way and Thunder Rumble, until he passed away a couple of years ago. Also very casual, live music, silent auction items, just a terrific cause, and see some great sponsors there as well, and a low-key fun event to raise money for the horses.
And again, it's just on Route 9, Nenola. Friday, it's going to be New York Showcase Day up here at the racetrack. Hopefully on the program we'll plug in some folks to tout that a little bit, but it's worth mentioning. Come on up on Friday and support the New York Breds. And I will say, they make for a lot of great racing action. Those New York Bred Stakes, they throw them throughout the year, and they're competitive. There's some familiar names, but a lot of talent as well.
And a lot of the horses who win these races don't compete only in New York Bred Company. Diversify won some of these races. Upstart, who ran in the Derby, Samrat. So you've got the nice thing about the New York Bred program is that, yes, there are a lot of great incentives for breeding and racing in New York, but you're also getting good, really good open company horses as well. And the two-year-old races here are particularly fun because, hopefully go on to see them do great things next year. And then you also just get some of the old warriors who've been around for a while. So it's a great day and should be, competitive, fun betting races.
Familiar names again, and it should be fun throughout the day. Friday also, Andy's radio show, worth noting, moves to Friday this week. Andy's going to be the MC at the BCCA on Thursday. So Andy's radio show moves to Friday down at the Parting Glass. So keep that in mind. 8 o'clock down at the Parting Glass. Swing on by, and I'm sure there will be lots of Travers conversation. Mm-hmm. But 8 o'clock Friday this week at the Parting Glass for Andy's radio show, Andy Serling's radio show. Should note, we've talked about the breakfast before and certainly highly touted over the last couple of weeks, stop for the breakfast. But with the early post time on Travers Day, no breakfast on Saturday.
No breakfast on Saturday, yep.
So keep that in mind. Monday, Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, the open barn that continues. They will, from 5 to 8, invite people, and you can go pet some horses. Did you go to the barbecue last night?
It was sold out. I went to go buy a ticket yesterday afternoon, and it was completely sold out.
Tim said it was getting close to sold out. I was at the draw, so I didn't get a chance to go. But that's great. Good for them. But they continue with the ongoing open barn, which is a summer-long kind of program. And that's Monday. Again, if you go to the TRF website, you can learn more about those events. Also, I noted here, and I went this week, and I've been meaning to go throughout, and we don't talk about it, but I will tout it Monday night. Go down to Parting Glass, our friend Ralph Thoreau.
Yes.
With the off-track band, OTB, the off-track, so we have to tout it. He's down there on Monday nights throughout the meet. Ralph, the lead singer,
yep.
Who is an official over here with Naira in the summertime. We've had him on the show before. Ralph's a lot of fun, but the band, I was down this past Monday night, a nice little crowd there at the Parting Glass, lots of dancing and singing along. So if you're looking
for...
it's really fun.
Really good.
It's a lot of fun. So if you're looking around for something to do on a Monday night, swing down to the Parting Glass, because there's only the one Monday left for the off-track band, as it were, down at the Parting Glass. Tuesday, Old Friends at Cabin Creek has an aftercare celebration.
Mm-hmm. They've been having themed visits every Tuesday. They celebrated Will's Way, Trevor's winner, yesterday. And next week, they will just be honoring the initiatives that have been made in aftercare over the last few years, particularly up in this area where you've got a number of thoroughbred aftercare retraining and retirement and adoption facilities.
Tuesday, also, Helping Hooves event that will... launch on Tuesday
with will be at Chianti. A couple of bartenders there will be appearing. I don't know if they're actually going to be making drinks or what. Maybe they might just be appearing,
passing it from the bartender to you, maybe.
Yes, perhaps. So this is next Tuesday night. Nice thing to do to kick off the final week. Complimentary tastings. Chianti is a great place if you haven't been there, and it's all for a suggested donation of $10, so you can't beat that.
Again, benefiting PDJF and whatnot, so keep that in mind next Tuesday. So, again, as we always like to remind people, go to Brooklyn Backstretch for not only the calendar, but to see what you've been up to writing-wise, and what should we know that you've been up to writing-wise?
Lot of stuff, sadly, about Carmen Barrera, the director of Horsemen's Relations, who suddenly passed away a couple of weeks ago.
Talked about her on Sunday. Steve was, I have to admit, I had zero contact with her, but just walking around the facility the day after she passed away, you could see the effect it had on really the entire facility in the community. And as I say, Steve took a few minutes to give her a nice tribute on Sunday.
Yeah, so I've been talking to a lot of people about her and hearing wonderful stories, so that's been good. We'll also be doing a lot this weekend on New York Showcase Day as well, and a lot of kind of follow-ups from the sales, that sort of thing.
Very good.
And also, there should be something, thoroughbred racing commentary on the history of the Travers, since it is Travers 150.
Oh, yeah, nice. And should once again tout the book. We had Brian Boyer in just before the meet, the first Sunday we were in here, and he and Mike Veach did the nice book about. And I guess speaking of thoroughbred racing commentary, I guess Charlie Hayward gave it a big thumbs up. And it is a gorgeous book with some the nice cover work by Greg Montgomery. And so check that out as well. All right, Teresa, as always, appreciate the visit, the
and
update on the calendar.
This might be it. This time next week, I'm going to be in a faculty meeting at school to kick off I know.
What?
So thanks for the opportunities this year. Thanks for opportunity to talk about so many great causes in Saratoga and be here. So thanks.
Happy to have you on. You'd be back on the weekend, though, right?
For sure.
Yeah. So we will have the opportunity to see you. Maybe not here, but appreciate all the work you've done. I will say it on the air, since this may be the last time. Teresa obviously helps with the guests on my program, Brian's program as well. Great job this year. Bob Baffert on a Sunday. High five there. appreciate not only that, but obviously the calendar contributions on the Wednesdays. All right, we'll take our last break of the morning, come back and wrap things up on this Wednesday. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
In front, but here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Bob Bob. These two are travels head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game? to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Welcome back. Wednesday morning here on Racing Across America, and I'm trying to pull up my computer here, the OTB promos, so I can alert you because, yeah, we go top of the page. Do want to give you the programming note that Saturday morning with the early post time with the Travers. Early post time for us, too. The handicappers report on Saturday will start at 8. Brian Edo Saturdays at the Spa starts at 9 on Saturday, so make that programming note. Today at the Clubhouse Racebook, Prize Wheel Day, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Swing on by. Tomorrow, Beat the Handicapper contest. Check online for more info there. Friday, it's a fan appreciation day at the Queensbury branch, noon until 5 on Friday at Queensbury. Friday, the bounty bet returns, $675. Take your shot at that added money by playing the late pick 5 with your Capital OTB bet account. That's all you have to do. Capital OTB bet account, play the late pick 5, you're in for a shot at the bounty. Friday also, there's a late pick 5 bankroll. Check the website for more information on how you can get on the team. Saturday, there's a $1,000 bankroll. Saturday, $1,000. Mike Callahan will be playing during the afternoon. Check here for cut-ins during the afternoon on Travers Day. Mike Callahan with the bankroll. You have until tomorrow night to get your shot to be on the team. Go to CapitalOTB.com to sign up. Saturday, there's an Empire 6 promotion at the Clubhouse Racebook, and Sunday at the Racebook, a couple of promotions, a match bet, and Naira Pick 4, all of that, Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Thanks to our friend Teresa Gennaro for visiting this morning. Larry Colmus, he was fun. Again, thanks to him for taking the time, and Joe Clancy as well. Don't forget, with the weather we had, including during the show, where it was really coming down for about 15 minutes, Steeplechase today has been canceled, so things will kick off in scheduled race 2 today, and all the turf races are moved to the main track on this Wednesday afternoon. All right, I'm going to wrap things up. Handicapper support comes back tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Racing Across America right back here tomorrow at 10. We'll see you then.
You've been watching Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America has been brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier online wagering site in New York State. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for life. Woodbine Racetrack. Pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border. And the new Capital OTB mobile app. Wager anytime, anywhere. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play.